Okay, Tov world. Today's daf in the Sechet Ketuvot is daf Chet, and we're holding on daf Zayin Amud Beit at the very bottom. Tana Rabbana. So yesterday we were discussing the bracha of the Erusin. And of course the bracha of the Erusin is what is normally made. Nowadays it's made together with the Birchas Nisuin, when we just make this distinction between them by doing the Kriyas HaKetuvah in between, because the ketuvah, of course, please mute, Barnea. The kriyat ketuvah is there in order, first of all, because that's when we're koveh the ketuvah, which is why in Eretz Yisrael, that's where they actually sign the ketuvah and they make the ketuvah there under the chuppah. But it used to be that it was significantly different, maybe even a year before. And there we had the question of whether also in cases, and by the way, there are many places that there are no heg, that if the chassan and kala are going to be together, and I know many people that are makbid never to allow chassan and kala to be in the same house together, even if there's other people that are there. But the idea of allowing them to be together would only be where you make the bracha. And indeed, many places, that is the minhag, that you'll actually make the birchas hanisuin. And of course, this would only make sense if the kala was not a nida. But otherwise, to allow a chassan and kala to be in a place where one can sneak into the other's bed, even if they're in the same house and you think that's safe, it is definitely not safe. I can tell you from much personal experience, it is not safe. When you have 10 kids, you find out what is safe and what is not safe. So there's definitely things that are not safe, and my wife is very makbid not to allow a chassan and kala ever to be in the same home. And many people are makbid on that. But today we want to talk about the birchot hanisuin, as opposed to the birchot ha'erusin. And that, of course, is the six brachas. It's really only six brachas. We call it sheva brachot, because of the Birkat HaYayin, and we're koveya these brachot on the Yayin. But the six of the Sheva brachot are complex brachot, and because of that, I want to learn with you the Rashi, who has a pshat in which we see the perspective of these brachot in such a way that it makes sense, because there's something very strange about the way that we do the Sheva brachot. What we do is, in some of the brachot, we begin with Baruch Atah Hashem. In other brachot, we don't. Let's say, Sos Tasis, Vitagel Akara. What happened to the Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Sos Tasis, right? And there are some brachot that we have a closing to. Baruch Atah Hashem, Misameach Hatan V'Kala, let's say. Some brachot that are no closing to, which are called brachot Ktsarot, such as Yotzer HaAdam, or Hakol Bara L'Chvodo, right? Just short brachot without an opening and a closing. And it's very confusing. We have brachot that sound almost the same. Misameach Hatan Vikala, Misameach Hatan Imakala. Those are two different brachas. I mean, like, sounds very strange. So the brachot are indeed confusing and are very profound and reflect, according to Rashi, many different faces that we need to appreciate when we're saying them, because they are not all mechuvan for the same thing at all. And they're not all talking about the wedding, for that matter. So therefore, let us take a look at the Rashi. I want you to see it inside because it's so fundamental and gives so much perspective. The Rashi that begins at the bottom, even though we haven't said it yet in the Gemara, but I'm assuming that everybody pretty much knows the brachot. Well, you know, just in case, let's say the bracha's over to keep it fresh in your mind. Okay, so we'll say it first inside. Tana Rabbanan, bevorchim berkat chatanim, with 10 people present, and only with 10 people present. If you don't have a minion, then you don't say these brachas, although there's some question, as we'll see, about Asher Bara, whether you could say that even in less than 10, because as we'll see, Asher Bara is not one of the normal Sheva brachas, as we'll speak about. And that can be said sometimes alone, even if you just have in your own house and you're having a seuda, maybe you don't need 10. And maybe it's not even during the time of the 7 days after the Sheva brachas. All of this we're going to be discussing. But anyway, what are they? Well, first of all, Rav Yehuda says you don't make these brachas, as we said before, there's 7 days, but you don't make them all 7 days. You only make them if v'hu sheba'im ba'u panim chadashot. This is only in the event that new people have showed up. And these people cannot just be any new people, but as the Rishonim explain, and this is very much against the minhag, especially among the Bnei Ashkenaz, that you just call people in and say, we need a minyan, you know, for Sheva Brochas and so on. You can't use those people for Panim Chadashot, because the Panim Chadashot is specifically people who you would be marbe in the Simcha because of them. So in other words, they're so important to you and they're so close to you that if they weren't present at a, we'll talk about in a moment, what weren't they present for? If they weren't present before, that when they come, you feel you want to have a new simcha with a small seuda special for them, which is rare to find true panim chadashot. And by the way, the minhag in Baghdad is that it's literally panim chadashot. They don't understand the word panim as a single person's panim, which is the way we usually understand the term. Panecha is lirot panecha. You have two panim. There's faces of a person. But rather they take it as two people. And they're not mevarech Sheva Brachas unless there's two new people, not just one new person. And furthermore, the question is, what is panim chadashot? Chadashot for what? Were they not at the wedding? Were they not at a meal? Were they at the wedding but just not at the seuda of the wedding? How exactly do we define precisely the panim chadashot? Now, these are actually big machlokas in what is meant exactly by panim chadashot. So, I mean, as we know, there is quite a bit of arguments about this issue as well. And in the end, the shitot are those who were not present at the actual brocha at the time that it was made at the chuppah are people that are called panim chadashot. Others learn that the idea of the panim chadashot is specifically people who maybe were even there and they heard it, but they hadn't participated in a seuda. Is the question, did they ever participate in a seuda? The seuda of the wedding? When does it start, b'chlal, these 7 days? Is the 7 days from the time of the chuppah? Sometimes the chuppah begins the day before, and the seuda only begins later at night. Does it go according to the nighttime? Does it go according to the morning time? All of these are issues that need to be defined. We'll go through them together, Bezrat Hashem. First, let's take a look at the idea itself. What are the brachas? Mai mevarech. Omer of Yehuda, Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, shehakol bara lichvodo. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, yotzer haadam. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, asher yatzar et haadam betzalmo, betzalem dmut avnito, v'itkin lo mimenu binyan adayad. Baruch ata Hashem yotzer haadam. Now note that one of the curious items here is that we seem to have two brachas that are exactly the same. Yotzer HaAdam and Yotzer HaAdam. I mean, like, what the heck? What's the point? One of them is a long bracha, Yotzer HaAdam, which begins with Asher Yatzaret HaAdam B'Tzalmo, and the other is just Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaAdam. That's very curious. Why are the two brachas that are the same, and why is one long and one short? Okay, we continue on. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Misameach Tzion Bivaneha. And then we have a bracha that starts without Baruch ata Hashem. So obviously it's because it's a bracha asmucha lechavreta. Sameach tesamach reyim ha'uvim. Tesamech hacha yitzircha beganeda mikedem. Baruch ata Hashem Misameach chatan vikala. Then for some reason... I thought I said Sostasis. All right.
You said the ending.
Okay, fine. All right. Sostasis v'tagela akara, v'kibbutz banela tocha v'simcha. Again, obviously, a bracha smucha l'chaverta. I thought I mentioned that beferish, because it comes after Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Adam. So as we pointed out before, why all of a sudden is this a bracha sibucha l'chaverta, whereas the Yotzer Adam itself is not a bracha sibucha l'chaverta. Then we have another bracha sibucha l'chaverta, sameach tesamach reim ahuvim, b'sameach chatan v'kala, and then we have the bracha that starts again, even though it comes immediately after Baruch Atah Hashem Mesameach Chatan V'Kala. We start again Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, even though this ought to be a bracha smucha l'chaverta, Asher Baras Ason V'Simcha, and we end that after the Kol Chatan V'Kol Kala, Baruch Atah Hashem Mesameach Chatan Im HaKala. What's the difference between Mesameach Chatan V'Kala and Mesameach Chatan Im HaKala, and why is this not just a bracha smucha l'chaverta of the previous bracha? Now, in light of all of these questions, Rashi actually does an introduction to the concept of the brachot over here, which is very important because it brings a little bit of Seder and basic understanding to what the takana of the brachos were all about. Now let's take a look at the Rashi at the close of the daf over here, the last Rashi, on Omid Beis, on Zion Omid Beis. My Mavarech, Omer Rav Yehuda, Nira Be'enai, Seder Brachot, Shenizderu, Al Iskei. Now note the very careful distinction that Rashi is going to be making in his words. The word over here is Al Iskei Hazug, not hazivug. Later on, we're going to be talking about al iske hazivug, which is a whole different issue. So al iske hazug means, as they say in Yiddish, the younger pair. Okay, this is the iske hazug. And that begins, I believe, says Rashi, only from the second bracha, me asher yatsar and onwards, because that's Ota bracha matchelet daber bishnehem. That bracha begins the discussion of these two people, the chosen and the kala. And the reason that we have it in this way, and we say on both of them, but not on both of them together, asher yatsar et ha'adam, that is referring to the male, the chosen. How do we know that? Because after all, it goes on to say, v'hitkin lo mimenu binyan ade'ad. So that part is the nekeva. So then that means that we have a discussion of the boy and the girl, the yotzira adam, and then a yitzira in which the kala suddenly appears. Binyan ade'ad, that comes from him. And then we go to sos tasis. Why do we suddenly go to sos tasis? That's a separate issue. Because since we are engaged in a simcha, lefish anu tzirchim la'alot zichron Yerushalayim al rosh simchatenu, the whole point over here is that we're being mekayim the pasuk in Tehillim tidbak l'shoni l'chikim lo eskerechi. That's mechayev us a bracha, but it's a bracha that comes immediately after the yetzira of Adam, and of course relates to the fact that Adam was meant to be on the earth in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with Ashras HaShechina in Gan Eden, which then turns into the Mishkan, Yorad Dodi LeGano, and that therefore this is the place that we should be maskered, and we see it as a continuation of the bracha that came immediately before, Yotzer HaAdam. Why therefore, says Rashi, did we not view Shako Baralich Vodo as the opening to Yotzer HaAdam? Because I believe, says Rashi, that Yotzer HaAdam is the opening of an entirely new issue. Shako bara lechvodo, that does not have anything to do with these two people standing in front of us today underneath this chuppah. No, nothing to do with that at all. We are beginning with an understanding of the nature of Bria. Now, why in the world would we want to begin with the nature of Bria that has nothing to do with Adam at all? Hakol bara lechvodo, that we're talking about Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, and that's what we need to be mazkir. Now, that means that there is a context above all of the other contexts here. And therefore, it has to be a bracha that is not viewed as part of a Seder HaBrachas. So in the same way, we don't call a brocha smucha lechavrata just because you happen to be making a brocha on two things which are unrelated. We don't call that a brocha smucha lechavrata. If you're making a brocha on a fruit and you're making a shechiyano, you don't make it all one brocha. Each one is a separate bracha. And therefore, says Rashi, this super context of hakol bara lechvodo, which a person has to enter into the mindset of what is happening here as a subset of the idea of Bria Bichlal and the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Magbil HaShavetz we're talking about now. Now let's talk about the Magbil HaShavetz is Mashpili Lerot Mashamayim Uvaretz. Now we can talk about Yotzer Adam and so on and so forth. Okay. So according to Rashi, we cannot view these brachas as being directly interrelated, and therefore they are not a bracha smucha lechaverta. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says the reason that we don't say that the Yotzer HaAdam should be considered to be a bracha hasmucha lechaverta to HaKol Bara Lechvodo. So in other words, Tosfos understands we're not interested in a Meda context of Maizeh Bereishis. We're interested with the HaKol Bara Lechvodo to give a deeper understanding of where the Yetziras HaAdam comes from. But it is Nogea in terms of Yetziras HaAdam. And that therefore, whatever we're being Isaac in what a human being has to achieve in life is ultimately Lichvodei Shel Hashem Yisbarach. Therefore, really, it should be one bracha. However, says Tosfos, if we would have put it all together, it would have seemed like it really is only one bracha. What would we have said? Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam shehakol bara lechvodo yotzer ha'adam. So then it sounds like the hakol bara lechvodo is the yotzer ha'adam. Where's the two brachas? Because of that, we couldn't do what we normally would do where it's a bracha smucha lechaverta. This is how Tosfos understands it. He disagrees, which means there's a whole different approach in how we look at that original HaKol Bara Lechvodo. Continues Rashi. After we now get to Sos Tasis, let us go on to talk about Sameach Tesamach Re'im Ahavim. That is a bracha for the Chosen and Kala as individuals, not as a married pair. And that each one of them, Shiatzlichu, Besimcha, Vituv Lev, they are about to embark on a very important moment in their lives. They should be Matzliach in their lives, not necessarily in their lives together, but each one of them in the path of their lives. Now that's a very important Nekuda, because as we're going to see, it actually is going to be differentiating between the Sameach Chassan Vichala versus the idea of Misameach Chatan Im Hakala. So that's the point. One of them is together and one of them is each one of them at this important moment. So after speaking about the Brias Oda, the Brias Ha'elam, the fact that we're missing the Beis HaMikdash, now we give them a bracha. Fine. So this is a bracha which is smucha lechaverta because it's a direct context of Misameach Tzion. How do we know? Because we find in all of the psukim that the simcha of Yerushalayim is mechuber to kol sason vekol simcha, which we're going to say at the end. Kol mitzalot chatanim, od yivnu batim, and so on and so forth. All of these issues, ki'ilu bona echad b'churvot Yerushalayim, when a person goes to get married and so on, that means that the issue of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Sos Tasis, is very much connected to the fact that people are willing to be Sameach Tesamach at this moment. And it becomes an expression of their own simcha in the same way that for Birkat Avelim Lahavdil, when we talk about Betoch Shara Vele Tzion V'Yerushalayim, that the Avelut has to be experienced within the context of Yerushalayim, so too the Simcha has to be experienced within the context of the Simchas Yerushalayim. And therefore, these two brachas, these two sets are very similar. Now we continue on after that with the bracha to the Chosen Shiyatzlichu. And then we say, Asher Bara Sason V'Simcha, that is a bracha of a general sense of the meaning of all of Klal Yisrael's simcha. Therefore, what we're talking about over here, says Rashi, is since we begin with Asher Yatzar as the first bracha that has to open up with Baruch, the first bracha of the set, in which we're talking about over here where we have the Zug, so it has to open up with Baruch and be chotem with the Baruch, because that's the beginning of the Seder of the Brachot that have to do with the wedding per se. Sostasis, Sameach de Samach, do not begin with Baruch, because they are all Brachot Hasmucha Lechavreta. Because of that, they do not open up with Baruch. Shekein Tiknu Lekol HaBrachot Shesmuchot Achar HaRishona Al HaSeder. We don't interrupt by making a new bracha. We use the Pticha as the bracha, the same thing that we do during Shmon Esrei. We open up with Baruch Atah Hashem, and then we go on, and we add to that, so that each one of the brachas has its own ending, but each one is considered to be mechubar to the one before. And all that we do is we open with the Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, and so on and so forth. Same thing is true over here. Then why do we Asher Bara? Why is Asher Bara not also a bracha smucha lechaverta? Why do we start all over again with Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Bara, Sasson? Why is that? Because, says Rashi, Mipnei shehi ne'emeret yechidit berov yemei hamishteh, even kishein sham panim chadashot, as we'll see. If there is no one new for whom it's choshev to make a seuda, then during the entire Shivat Yamim, you still make one bracha, and that is the bracha of Asher Bara. And that is therefore cannot be made without opening with Baruch Atah Hashem, because it's meant to be said without being a bracha smucha lechaverta. Therefore, b'fichach eina min hasmuchot, you can't view it as being one of those that is one next to the other. And you have to begin liftor bebaruch v'lesayim bebaruch. However, hakol bara lichvudo, that is not part of the Seder Ha'am. What that is referring to, why do we mention it here? Well, because think about what's happening over here. What's happening is that people are coming together from all over the world in order to do what? Why are we feeling that it's necessary to come to attend this wedding? Because of HaKol Bara Lechvodo. In other words, there's a subconscious awareness of the fact that the Asifat Ha'am, HaNe'esafim Sham, that they feel that they are involved exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochol went to do when he created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Noyek Chesed Im Odom HaRishayin. He became a shushbin to him. He was nitasekbo, and he became basically the one, so to speak, who took him to the chuppah and who set up his wife for him and everything else. That's an unbelievable sense of commitment to his bria, so that that which is his covered is, in fact, that we understand that this is the way that we have to act in the same way. So Asifa Zu Kavod HaMakomi, when we get together, it means that we understand that what it was that was done for the Maisa Bereishis is the Kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing all of this amazing stuff for us. So if we respond in kind, that is the biggest testimony to HaKol Bara Lechvodo. And therefore, we go ahead and we say it. And the truth is that we should have said this bracha even before we got to the chuppah. In other words, if everybody is here, then we should just be amazed and say right away, wow, what's going on over here? Why is there a smorgasbord? So we should say right away that HaKol Bara Lechvodo. And the truth is we should do that, because that's the point of the bracha, is to bring that recognition home as well, to make it part of our kavana. The only reason that we don't, says Rashi, is because we made the takana on the kos. So lemikivan sheyesh bracha al hakos his kikua lisadra alav midedavi abirchat besamim. Ubrichat alor b'metzoy Shabbos. Why do we make that bracha together with Havdalah? We don't have to. It's a bracha that stands on its own. If you don't have a Havdalah and you see the or, you're still mevarech ala or, and you're still mevarech ala b'samim. But where you have an opportunity to include all of the brachas together, that's what we do. So we put them together with the covered on the coats. And therefore, it's a completely different sense when you're saying HaKol Bar HaLechvodo. This is Rashi's approach, totally different from the Tosfos. The focus of HaKol Bar HaLechvodo is on the guests and on the way that everyone is coming together. The focus of the Yetziras HaAdam is on the development, the gradual development of separately male, female, and then together male and female. And therefore, we give them a bracha individually, which is a beautiful thing. I mean, I think you take for granted that everybody thinks this way today. But remember that until very recently, the Umayyad Ha'olam viewed a woman as being just like, you know, a piece of a tail, basically, attached to the Adam, the way that the Maizer Bereishis was according to Rambam, the Omer L'Chatchila. And the idea that we would give a bracha first as individuals before we make a bracha on them together is a very profound nekuda that many people forget. Before we're talking about a marriage, we have to talk about the individuals. They don't only exist in terms of each other. And therefore, we have a separate bracha, Misameach Chatan Vikala, whereas the other bracha, which is the concept of Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha, that's Misameach Chatan Im Hakala. And of course, the issue over there is to discover that there is happiness in each other, which is much more difficult than a person going ahead and having hatzlocha with his wife. Okay, so these...
Because it's a bracha of individuality, does that imply that you should be maintained within a marriage? There are two things, there's each individuals, and there's something bigger.
Absolutely, yeah, that's the point. That a person cannot lose himself, it can't become a dependency type of relationship, which you don't have a self. The point over here is that you gain together, you gain a higher self of bris, of chosan im hakala. Literally two separate brachas with almost exactly the same words. It's like very, very striking, no? Okay, so this is a beautiful introduction that Rashi gives to us. Levi, so let's continue on. Levi iklala ve rabbi, behilule the Rebbe Shimon Beret. So Levi was visiting Rebbe's house, and this was during the time that Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon, was getting married. That was a big maisa with... Remember the story of Bar Kappara. We were talking about Bar Kappara before and then what was going on over there with these marriages in Rebbe's home. Anyway, so Bori Chamesh, he only said 5 out of the 6 Sheva Brachas instead of all of them because he did not hold that you should say Yotzer HaAdam. So he skipped the Yotzer HaAdam, the initial Yotzer Adam, or according to Rashi, he only made that initial Yotzer HaAdam and didn't go through the idea, which is the Pashas, the way Rashi learns all Sugya, the way he, as we'll see in a moment. So, L'chora, he's arguing on some basic Nakuda, was Rav Asi, who came to Rav Ashi's home during a Sheva Brochas. He said the full 6, and he, both of them, we're not talking about the 7th, which is Bari Priyagef, and that's not the issue here. So apparently Levi and Rav Asi are chaylik in what? That Levi holds there were not 2 separate yitzirot. And actually, Adam and Chava were created as 1 Maisa Bereishis, which were 2 separate panim, and that became the separation of Adam v'Chava. But there was really only 1 Yetzira. Whereas Rav Asi holds, no, there were 2 separate Yetziras, so that what we call the Zanav, there was like a separate creation of Chava, and because of that, we have to have 2 separate brachas. So the Yotzer Adam would be bedafka a male. And then, asher yatzaret Adam v'hitkin lo mimenu binyan adayad, that means mimenu, hitkin lo mimenu, that wasn't there before. So that's going according to the Mandi Omar, that there were 2 separate acts, one of which was just a male with a tail, so to speak, whatever Zanav means, and the second Yetzira was a new Yetzira of Isha. That would require a separate bracha. No, says the Gemara, you don't have to say that. Look, it's very possible that everybody has made it that there was only one Yetzira, and the Nafkamina is that Lechatchila HaKadosh Baruch Hu was had in mind that there should be Zohar v'Nekeva, and in the end, there was a Zohar and Nekeva together, which then needed separating so that we would understand that the interrelationship is an interrelationship of a single entity. And Mar Savar Basar Machshava Aslina, so Rav Asi says that there were two separate stages. There was a Machshava. The Machshava is the original set of Yetzira Sa'ada. And the other one is Lefida Maisa. And Lefida Maisa, there was only one Yetzira Sa'adam, but we have to understand what the point was. So because of that, we make both brachas. Ki Hada Rav Yehuda. This follows the approach that Rav Yehuda pointed out the contradiction in the Pasuk. On the one hand, it says, Vayivra Elohim et Adam Bitzalmo, meaning that there was only Ha'adam, one human. But it says in, later on it says, that's in the original, where it's describing the Machshava, but then it says, Zachar Unikeva Bira'am, which is that there were both. So how do we explain that? So basically, the point was always that there should be both, as it ultimately turns out, Zachar v'Nekeva, and that's the expression of the original Machshava. Ula b'sof, but in terms of the actual Yetzira, there was only Echad. Now that's the way Rashi learns it. There's a lot of problems with this Rashi based on the sugya that we went through, the sugya we did Erevin, and it seems to go in a completely different direction than the Gemara and Erevin is going. However, for our purposes, this is good enough. We don't need to go necessarily back and spend a lot of time explaining why Rashi is learning the sugya like this. But okay. Now, Rav Ashi came to Rav Kahana, and they were making Sheva Brachas. And they gave him the codes to make Sheva Brachas. So, Yuma Kama Borech Kulo. On the first day, he saw that the wedding, he was just getting there, so he said all of the Brachas. Because he was a new person. Mikan ve'elach i'ika panim chadashot borech kulo. So if somebody choshev new came in, so then he was mevorech all of the sheva brachas again. But if not, he said, this is only apushe simcha bi'amo. This is just a continuation of the original simcha. And therefore, the original bracha on the simcha is chal on it. There's no point here in making a new bracha. And he only said, when he opened up the Birkat HaZimun, he said, Baruch Elokeinu Shasimcha B'mono, V'shachalnu Mishalo. And he said afterwards, Asher Baras Hason V'simcha, which, as Rashi pointed out before, is not part of the other Sheva Brachas. And you can say that on its own. Now, there's a big machlokas whether does that mean you could say it on its own just if there's three people in any Birkat HaZimun, or is it Ein Mevorchen Ela Ba'asara? That's a reference to all of the Sheva Brachas. And therefore, even Asher Baras Ason V'Simcha, you would need to have a minyan, which is basically, nowadays, Bichlal, we don't, the Ashkenazim don't do this. We'll talk about the halacha. But the Ashkenazim, Bichlal, don't do Asher Baras. And the truth is that the Loshen of the Shulchan Aruch himself is Ve'ata arva kol simcha. There's no real simcha anymore. Life is so problematic. And Klal Yisrael has been through so much that we don't feel capable of even saying a bracha of Asher Baras Ason v'simcha. And therefore, unless it's mamish at the wedding or at a panim chadoshes, we don't say it at all. Okay, so, however, as I said, we'll go over, but there are many that do. And then, afterwards, from Shiva Vachloshim, note again the interrelationship of the dinim of Avelut to the dinim of Simcha. These are the exact same words that we have in the dinim of Avelut that we had in Moed Katan. From Shiva Atshloshim, what's the din of the Oval Mishiva Atshloshim? Over here as well. From 7 days after the wedding until 30 days. there, if you are making a special meal lechvod the chosin and kala, so let's say the chosin and kala have taken a trip. Now they're going back home to South Africa. Now it's already 2 weeks after the wedding, but nobody has been at the wedding, and now they want to make a big su'udah for the chosin and kala. So what is the din over there? Can you make a bracha even if it's after the Shiva's yomim? So if over there until shloshim, whether you tell the people that were invited specifically that you are making this meal because of the fact that these people got married or not, or ben shalom alehem machmas ha'ilula, you still say hasimcha b'ma'ono in birkat ha'mazon, but you don't say the asher bara. After the 30 days, there's still Yud Beis Chodesh. Again, exactly the way it is in the Dinam of Avelut and here in the Dinam of Simcha. If you made a meal that was later than Shloshim and you announced in the invitation that we are making the meal in honor of our children who've just arrived from Eretz Yisrael after getting married, and even though it's 6 months later, we want all of our friends and family to participate, and that's what's on the invitation. Then, in Birkat HaMazon, you say, Baruch Elokeinu Sha'asimcha b'ma'ono. But if that was not on the invitation, even though that is your intent in making the Suda, it's not enough to turn it into a mokum of simcha, and therefore you do not say Sha'asimcha b'ma'ono. And how long do you have that you can still make the simcha b'ma'ono if you did tell it people on the wedding, on the Suda invitation? V'chi amalu machmat hilulo ad emat? Omer of Papi Mishmei de Rava, 12 months. Ad treise yarchishata. So that means that we have a din of note. 3 days, that was the special din that we had, the Gabi Sibra and Almana. 7 days, which was the dinim that we had of Sheva Brochas or the case of a Bocher, Shanosa. We have Shloishim Yom, and we have Yud Beis Chodesh. Exactly the same pattern that we have in the dinim of Avelut. Getting back again to the interrelationship of burial and marriage. Kicha, kicha, bistei Ephron, which is where we find all of the dinim of marriage. Unbelievable. Ad kidei kach, the way that Chazal have been misader the inyonim, it's mamish, so striking. Well, so we go directly into the brachas of the Ovel in a moment. So this is obviously, decidedly, and purposefully structured in this way. And meikara me'emas. Now, before we actually get to the wedding, what point can you say? Because remember, many times a wedding has got people coming in 3 days before the wedding. You're all at the hotel. I mean, you know, it's like, and you've got these meals at the hotel. The wedding hasn't even taken place yet, but everybody's coming together. They haven't seen each other in ages. Now, how long before the wedding do we consider it to be part of the simcha, and we can say simcha b'mono even though the wedding hasn't happened, because that's why we are together. So me'emat, how long before? Rav Papa says, man, it's all about the beer, as you know. Of course, is Rav Papa's paid political announcement, which they have on YNET. It always says mimuman after Rav Papa, you know. This is a paid for ad. So anyway, but Rav Papa says it all has to do with the beer. Once you've got that barley and the beer and it's cooking up and the beer is ready to get moving, that's the simcha, obviously. Rashi has another pshat as well, that there was a minhag to show the chasen v'kala you would spread dirt out on like a flat thing, an asinta, you know, with a big bottom, so it's like, was used for making beer because there's a wide bottom. It's a big thing. But in this shot, it's the bottom that counts, not the size of the whole thing. You would put in some, soil, spread barley on the soil, water it, and barley sprouts very rapidly. So you would say to Chasson and Kala, get moving, guys. You're supposed to be Pora Varava the way this stuff is. So we're very big into the fish stuff and into the barley stuff and so on. This would be a continuation of don't get your priorities wrong. The priorities are sprouting. Okay, so then that would be another simon for that thing. We find a lot of issues like this We'll see later on, and throwing things on the chasmer. What do we throw? What remuzim to Piri Verivia as well? Asked the Gemara, is that true? But Rav Papa, he was making a shidduch over there with Abba Bar Mori, and he even made the brocha basimcha b'ma'ono when they were working on the erisin, and that was before he started making the beer. So how come he could make it that early? Ah, come on, Shani Rav Papa. I mean, Rav Papa is different. Rav Papa was so rich, and he was like, he had anything that he wanted. Everything was ready. For him, it was like the wedding was already in the freezer. You know, we're ready to, are you ready to get married right now? Let's go. So for him, it really is Asimcha b'ma'ono. Now, Ravina, he was trying to get his son into a shidduch with Rav Chaviva's daughter. So that he went to Rav Chaviva's home and they were discussing it and they agreed that they're going to get married. And they were there at the time of the Erisin, even though they never even began talking about like the details of the wedding. They didn't get into any kind of that. So it certainly was before the time that any of the shitas over years said that you can make the bracha. And he made the bracha. Again, when we say made the bracha, it is the bracha of asimcha b'ma'ono, nothing else. So remember, we've got these three different sets. We've got asimcha b'ma'ono, which is part of the birkas azimon. We have asher bara, which according to some doesn't even need asora, and certainly does not need panim chadashot. And then we have the full set of the six brachas, which does require panim chadashot. So he said, I am so convinced that Rav Chaviva, once they agree to go through with this marriage, there's no, it's as good as done, baby. It's as good as done. I feel confident. And therefore, I'm going to make Hasimcha b'mono, which of course immediately caused all the collapse. They got into a big fight. They never did end up getting married. Well, it was so hadre, but in the end, yes, they did change their mind and they went back on their commitment. And lo yistaya milta, it just didn't work out. Vahadrebuhu. So as we'll see, there's other inyanim over here. A person has to be very careful, you know, not to express things which are taken for granted and then they end up not happening. Rav Tachlifa, who came from Bar Marava, he was from Eretz Yisrael, he once came and visited Bavel. So they told him to say the Sheva Brachas. Remember that Mi'ikar Adin, the Sheva Brachas are all said together. Especially when you're talking about the brachas muchalach averta, you must admit it's very strange to take a brachas muchalach averta, split it into two different people making the bracha. So the guy who's getting up there and he's saying sostasis, he's like, why are you saying sostasis? What happened to Baruch Ata Hashem? Well, the guy before me said that. I mean, what? So clearly the Iker Takana is a Takana to say all of the brachas, the way that they're made. And in many places, people are makbid not to split up the brachas. And one person makes all of the brachas, which is the Derech HaKavod to really do it, and so on. And I've seen many, many people from different places that are careful not to split the brachas. But it's mutter ultimately. And it does not a pagam in a bracha, smuchalach averta, since everybody's being yotzei with each other's bracha. But over here, Rav Tachlifa was given the mitzvah to do the whole thing. And he said all of them as brachot arukot, meaning he added additional things. And like he said, you know, like the Sfardim love to do, they add a little bit of the brachas and they make it seem all exciting and so on. And then he would be mesayim the bracha, me'in chatim, me'in p'tichata, with Baruch Ata Hashem. On each one of them, start on each one of them, but we don't paskin like that. Let hilchatakavate, there are no brocha arichta on all of them. Rav Chaviva actually once went to a Brit Milah and he said asimcha b'mono at a Brit Milah, but we don't paskin that way. Mishum de tree de itlet sara liyanuka. People are not completely relaxed and happy at a Brit Milah. They're nervous about the child. The kid is screaming. Mother's going nuts. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Is that normal? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And because of that, we can't really make a kvias of a simcha b'mono when the parents and anybody who's concerned is not really happy. Some people use this as a reason not to say Shehechayanu, which all of the Mefarshim point out is ridiculous. There's nothing, you don't need to be completely happy to say Shehechayanu. Shehechayanu is a response to the inyanim of the mitzvah. So again, as you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the grub was docher, all of that, and the minhag is among everybody to say Shehechayanu at a Brit Milah. But this is a separate issue. Now, we said that we need asara. Okay. So, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rab, does the chosen count? Yes, the chosen is one of the 10 people. But do the avelim count? No, the avelim do not count. Ein avelim in aminyan. Meitve. What about the brayta that says both the chosen and the avel is included in the minyan? First of all, what's your problem? We quoted Rav, didn't we? Rav has a din of a tana. If he's telling you that he disagrees, he has a right to disagree. So Rav tana hu poli. He can argue on the brayta. Remember that Rav was also known as Rababa. That was his name. That was Machlokas Rashi Tosis, which one was the real name, which one. But anyway, when he's quoted in a brayta as a tana, so they quote him as Rababa. And Enoch Inami, he can argue if he wants. What's the problem? Itmar, Omer Reb Yitzchak, Omer Reb Yochanan, Chatanim in Aminyan, Ve'en Avelim in Aminyan. And that was like Rav. And they asked on him from the Braita. It says Chatanim and Avelim are in Aminyan. Now, we can't say that Reb Yochanan argued on the Braita because we don't have that klal on Reb Yochanan, only on Rav. So how do you answer it? Answers the Gemara Kitanya, he, that din, was referring to Birkat HaMazon. This is a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns Birkat HaMazon means that you need to have three, but he's included in three, which Tosfos says from a lot of issues is not the meaning of the sugya, because we're certainly not coming to simply say that Avelim are Chayav in Mitzvahs, and therefore he's included in the Zimun. This doesn't make any sense. Plus, we'll see that it seems to be referring specifically to 10. And so, Lemaisa, what we understand over here, according to almost all of the Rishonim, is that we're talking about 10, and we're talking about the bracha that we're going to see was mitukan on the Zimun that is said in a bias of an ovel, which again, we don't do today. Nobody quite understands why all of this has fallen into non-use in many places. Lemaisa Reb Moshe held that you should make these brachas. But then the pshat would be, according to Rashi, that when he's referring to three in Zimun, he's referring to the special bracha of Nivorech Menachem Avelim Shachalnu Mishalo. So that bracha of Menachem Avelim, you would think does not include three people if the oval is one of them, because the Nichum Avelim is towards the oval. Kamash Malan, that even the Avel is included in the Nivorech Menachem Avelim Shachalnu Mishalo. Others learn that it's a reference to the 10 that are required for the special bracha that is made specifically in, which, as I said, has fallen into disuse, but is actually a very important bracha of the Birchas HaMazon. And that's two different issues, because we have, besides the Baruch Menachem Avelim, we have a change in the Bonei Yerushalayim. At the end of Bonei Yerushalayim, after talking about Malchut Beit David B'Shichecha, we add the words, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu et Avelei Tzion ve et Avelei Yerushalayim ve et Avelim ha-mitavlim ba-avel hazeh. Nachmeim be-evlam, samchem mi-gonam. Kamur ki ish asher imo t'nachamenu, ken anochi anachamchem. Uv Yerushalayim t'nuchamu, Baruch Atah Hashem, manachem Avelim b'binyan Yerushalayim. Amen. That is instead of the Bonei Yerushalayim. Amen. And then in the fourth bracha, there's also a change. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Ha'el Avinu Malkeinu Adireinu Boreinu Goaleinu Kedoshenu Kedosh Yaakov. Insert the words. HaMelech HaChai Hatova Hametiv, El Emet, Dayan Emet, Shofet Bitzedek, Lokeach Nefashot, Shalit Baolamo Lasot Kirtzono, Vanachlu Amo Vavadav, Valakolonu Chayovim Lohodot Lo Lavorcho, Goder Pirtzot, Hu Yigdorata Pirtza, Zot Mealenu Meal Kolamo Yisro Barachamim, and that is the end of the brocha instead of the standard Al Yechatzreinu and so on. So these are tremendously different things. That, according to many Rishonim, does require, the change in the brocha requires asara, versus simply the psicha of Nevarech Menachem Avelim, Shachal Nemishalo. Okay, as I said, even though it's not in a tshuva, but Rav Moshe is reported to have held that it is a mitzvah to say that brocha in a Beis HaAvah. So anyway, but the Braiser was talking about that you count him as, according to Rashi, one of the Shloisha for Zimun, and according to the other Rishonim, one of the Asora for the Birchas HaEvel and Birkat HaMazon. Whereas what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the Shura, where you make a Shura for the Avelim. The minhag today is that the Avel walks through the Shura on either side. The minhag at the time was that the Avel sits and everyone comes around the Avel. But that was called a Shura, and they only made that with Asora. But Birkat Aveilim we make Basra Be'en Aveilim in Aminyan. How could that be referring to the Shura? There is no Bracha in the Shura. So how can you tell me that it was referring to the Shura? Bracha B'Shura Mi'ika. So then he can't be referring to the Shura. You're right. Elakikom and Rabbi Yochanan, to make it that the bright is not a stira, he was referring to the brachas that you say of the meal that you eat in the Rechava. And in the Rechava, that was where they used to gather and on the way back home, and they would give the Avel his first meal out there in the open where everyone got together. And that is talking about the Seudat Avra that we know. And there we have, in fact, all of these special brachas. We're going to see in a moment a whole list of special brachas that were said in the Rechava, which is not necessarily only in the Rechava. Could be if, you know, there wasn't a place for such a thing in a Rechava, then you would go into the Oval's house directly, or you could go into the Beit HaKnesset. Sometimes they had a special place for the Avelim in the Beit HaKnesset. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. Rabbi Yitzchak said a little bit more detailed of what Rabbi Yochanan had said. Mevorchim birkat chatanim ba'asara kol shiva v'chatanim min ha-minyan. U'birkat avelim ba'asara kol shiva, which means we're not talking about the Rechava. V'ein avelim min ha-minyan. Now, obviously, there is no 7 days of Sheva Brachas for the Avelim in the Rechava. There's only the normal Sheva Brachas that were in the house. So how do we get that? Oh, because what if there's a Ponim Chadoshais? Unbelievable. We're talking about Avelim. So now if there's Ponim Chadoshais, new people that have come to be Menachem Ovel that are very harsh of a people that the Ovel hadn't had a chance to see before, so then we do it again. And in fact, if they weren't there, they bring food and they bring another Suda to the Ovel. And there we make these brachas over again for 7 days every time that new people come that are chashev, exactly the same way we did for Sheva brachas by the Chasen Mekala. Astounding hakpalot. I mean, the entire thing is juxtaposed in every last detail. Ki had Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Reb Chiya Bar Abba, he was the cheder Rebbe of Reish Lakish's children. Some say he wasn't a cheder Rebbe, he was a private tutor of Mishnayos for Reish Lakish's older son. So he was a matne, b'rei the Reish Lakish Havi, and his child died. And Yuma Kamalo also, like by the first day Reish Lakish wasn't there, but he came the second day. So already there shouldn't be a bracha in the Rechava. But since Reish Lakish was very choshev, they did the whole thing again, and here is where we learn the brachas that were said in the Rechava. So, l'machar dabre lo yudah bar nachmeni meturgameni. The next day he grabs his meturgaman, who would make speeches for him, and that, according to what Rish Lakish had taught him, and he drags him along to go there. Omar lay, so at the Sa'uda, he says to his Meturgaman, get up, I want to say something, which of course you know what to say, it's what I have said about this issue, and say, Ema Milta, Koka Belyanuka, let's first say something about this terrible event about the child. Potach v'yomar, v'yar Hashem v'yinatz mikaz banav uvnotav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, and he was angry at his sons and his daughters. So this is a generation where people get HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. Dor she'avot menatzim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gets angry and he takes it out on their little kids. Ko'es al b'neihem ve'al b'notehem u'meitim kishehim kitanim. See, even though we have a klal ish pechato yumat, but as the Rambam explains, the bon of kitanim, as the Gemara said before, they are held as a mashkan for the behavior of the parents. Some say that Reb Chiya bar Abba's child who died was not a little kid. He was a bachur. Now you'll notice that there were two dinim of who Reb Chiya bar Abba was. Was he a teacher of little kids or was he a teacher of bachurs? Very interesting. So his son, the older son, died. And what it was that the Meturgaman ended up saying was not Vayara Shaminatz because Benavinotav, but rather Achikamar. Al Kain al Bachurav lo Yismach Adunai, Vet Yitomavi et Almenotav lo Yirachem. Kichulo chaneif umeira, v'chol peh dover nevala, v'chol zot lo shava po v'od yado netuya. So here it says in the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is furious at his children, and the bachurim specifically. And why does it say, and v'od, meaning and forever, yado netuya? Omer of Chanun Barav, this is a reference to the entire idea of ketuvot. Believe me, you're not telling anybody something intelligent by using a four-letter word. You're just stupid. Everybody knows what's going on. But you say something that is inappropriate and cheapening, and you say it with your dvar nevala, then od yadonetuya. That's the ode, meaning the entire la'ad, the entire years of a normal lifetime. Shivim shana, yimei shenotenu. Even if there was a gezar din that was already in place, it can all change just because of the cheapening in which the person cheapens the element of life itself. This is crazy. Reish Lakish came to be Menachem the Avel, and he says these horrible psukim about, well, you deserve it, and it's good that your kids died, and yeah, your older kid probably didn't know how to talk properly, and who knows what kind of four-letter words he was using. Thank God he dropped dead. What in the world is going on? How could he say such awful things if he was coming to tell Reb Chiya bar Abba Nichumim? No, he was saying like this. What Reish Lakish wanted to get across to him is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the generation. And therefore, the way that a generation achieves kapora is, as Rashi says, tzadikim iika tzadikim, tzadikim are nitpasim al ador, to be mechaper for the entire door. And therefore, the only way we can understand the death in a family of such a person like yours is that it's coming to be mechaper on these behaviors of the door. And that is why we're here, because you are such a leading person in the generation that we can only see this as a kapor for all of us. Then anyway, Reish Lakish continued with the brachas, and he said, okay, that was my first statement. That was the Gabi, the child. Now let's talk about the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this again, note the hakbalot to the Birchas HaNisuin that we were talking about before. Different brachas for HaKol Bara L'Kvodo. What's the brach of Kvodo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shabbat? So he started to say the bracha. And as Rashi says, of course, this was said as a bracha b'shem u'malchus. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam. Hakel ha'gadol berov godlo. Adir v'chazak berov noraot. Mechayei metim b'ma'amaro. Oseh gedolot ad ein cheker. V'niflaot ad ein mispar. Baruch ata Hashem mechayei metim. And then he said, now let's say another bracha. This is the reason, Rabbi Yisai, that Rashi gave his big hakdama, because Reish Lakish gave a big hakdama. I want you to know why I'm saying these brachas. What's interrupting in the middle of the bracha? These are brachas asmuchas l'chaverta. It's part of a seder, Rashi says. For the same reason that each one of them has to be clear. What are we talking about over here? First, let's talk about HaKol Bara L'Chvodo, so to speak. And that's the Mechayim Esim. Now let's talk about, not the Chosen V'Kala, let's talk about the Avelim. Okay? Sukum, get up again. Eima Milta Keneged Avelim. Patach V'Yomar. Achenu HaMeyugaim. Oy, ay, 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 ay. So this is a Brochas Buchel Chaverta. My poor brothers, so close to me, who are so bothered and so upset, and our medukaim are so broken. Be'avel hazeh, tnu levavchem lachkor et zot. Pay close attention, all of you who are here, because this is not something that's happening to other people. This is something that is happening to all of us. Zoti omedet la'ad, this disaster of mortality, it's part of the Bria of Adam. And it's a nativ misheshet yimei bereshit. This is the way the world has been from the time of the Gezer of Misa. Rabim shatu. Many have already had this horrible cup of death. Rabim yishtu. And many are going to be drinking this. Ki mishteh rishonim kach mishteh achronim. The party of the first generations is the same party that every generation will share in. Achenu ba'al nechamot yinachem etchem. So this is connected, this whole idea of sosa and v'simcha for everyone, right? And this is now the mishta rishayinim and mishta achrayinim. Baruch minachem avelim. Om rabbiya, no, this is terrible. I don't like this girsa. You can say rabim shatu because they're already dead. But why are we saying rabim yishtu? You shouldn't say that. You should say mishta rishayinim. You shouldn't say mishta achrayinim. Because remember that Reish Lakish taught us, and it was a brisa that Rabbi Yossi brought, La'olam al yiftach adam piv la'satan. You should not say something which opens up an opportunity for the satan to chas v'shalom be ma'or dinim against the person. Where do we see this? Mikra. Kistom ayinu la'amora diminu. And then the very next pasuk. Shimu dvar Hashem katsine Sedom. So you started talking about being like Sedom, and sure enough, the pasuk says, yeah, you are katsine Sedom. We had gone through some of the brachas that Reish Lakish had said when he came in, and he had his meturgamant say over those things, including the brachas, and we had gone through one bracha at a time, and we got up to an interruption. And the interruption was that the nusach of the bracha that Reish Lakish had was kimishter rishonim, kach mishter achronim, rabim shatu, rabim yishtu. Reish Lakish, Abaye tainet that that's not a good girsa. Why? Because we have the braisa from Reb Yossi, that la'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan, is where we were up to. And this, of course, relates very deeply to Tisha B'Av, to this entire period, because Maikra Kisdom Hayinu La'amora Diminu, which immediately is followed by Shimu Dvar Hashem Katsine Sedom. So you see that because of the fact that we talk about how close we were to being like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually calls us Katsine Sedom. Now the question over here is, in terms of this halacha, Liolam Ayiftach Adam Piv L'Satan, we also had the Maisa, in which the in brachas we spoke about the person should make a bracha when he goes into a bathhouse. And in those days, there used to be the fire underneath the bath. And oftentimes, the bath would collapse which would put you straight down like Korach v'Hadassa into the flames. So they had this tefillah beforehand, you know, that I should get out of here in one piece. And in the event that I fall into the flames, may my death be a kapora on all of my avinas. So over there also, the Gemara said that it's not right to say that because you're going to be poseach b'ivle satan. So the question is, because of that, this very interesting psak of the Magen Avraham, who brings that it was a minhag among many people that before they would go to sleep, they would say the vidui that is said before death. So we go through the entire vidui in the, like at Siddiq Adin, and he brought the shitas. This got me stopped. He brought the shitas. Listen, that's why they're so hard to toilet train too. You know, you never know what can come out of there, which is also true. So there, he said that he brings shitas that say a person shouldn't do that because it's similar to the issue of the bathhouse. And we said over there that it's considered to be poteach piv l'satan. So the Magen Avraham says a very interesting halacha. He says that where something is a sakana, then you are indeed being poteach pe l'satan. But where something is not a sakana bichla, why is it a poteach pe l'satan to speak about things that are normal in life? So going to sleep is a sakana in a sense, in which you're giving yourself over to unconsciousness and you may not wake up. And going to the bathhouse is a sakana. But stam, where a person is in a matzav in which he wants to say vidui or mention the inyan of his death, that's not considered to be a poteach pe l'satan. On the other hand, the halacha is that when somebody is in a matzav, which is really misukan, he's supposed to say vidui. As the Ramban brings it, that's the norm, is that we tell the person that, you know, that you listen, don't worry, it doesn't mean anything. It's not that you're saying you're going to die. It's not a psichas pelas satan, but this is the derech that a person who's in such a matzev and he's seriously ill, that he should be misvada. So apparently that means that the Magen Avraham is saying that there are three dargas. One darga is where there's a small sakana, obviously. I mean, people go to the bathhouses. It's certainly not considered something that is really dangerous. So over there, this small element of danger that is there indeed allows this to be a psichas pelesat, and it may be ma'orer midas adin against the person. Where there's bichlal no sakana, and the person is talking about the norm of life, so then it's not considered to be. But why is it poseach pelesatan if everyone is going to die, to talk about rabim shatu and rabim yishtu? So that shouldn't be a problem, except that over here, it becomes a problem because there's a concept of echad bimdei chabura shemesu, that yidagu kol achabura kulam, and you have to imagine yourself as if cherev munachas al tzavorai, and there's different, like the Gemara goes through, the first 3 days, the 7 days, and the yud beis chedesh, the cherev is like on the side of the road, and so on. So therefore, it makes sense that Abaye would taina, that this is also a case where it's considered to be psichas pelesata. But let's say somebody is seriously in a sakana, so then adarabah, it's not considered to be a poseach pelesata. On the contrary, it's considered to be a person's kabbalah of the extent of midas hadin, and it works as a schus for him. You don't need for the satan to be there when the person is already under the knife and or he's sitting and being geises or whatever. That's not poseach piv l'satan. The satan's already standing there. So what are you supposed to do? Pretend that, the elephant in the room isn't there. So at that point, adarabah, that the person should be misvada. So again, it's important to understand where precisely we are in cheshesh for this inyan of psichas pelesata. Anyway, so next thing we got up to, what did Reish Lakish say? So Omar Lay, so he said to him, okay, so we're now at 10 lines above the biggest lines. Omar Lay, so after we got up to the Katsina, he said, Dom, it's on. Omar Lay, kum ima milsa keneged menachame avelin. Now there is a bracha that is keneged the menachem avelin. So these people that are coming here, just like we said, the Hakol bara lechvodo, and we understood that to mean, as Rashi's Mefarish at the end, that everyone is doing what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the world. Here, when it comes to Nichum Avelim, we want to point out that everyone is doing what it is that Avram Avinu committed himself to do through the generations. And therefore, the bracha goes like this. Remember, it's a bracha smucha l'chaverta, despite the fact that he interrupted here and he says, kum eima milta, because we'll see later on that we even interrupt with kosos of yayin. And we have brachas. These brachas are made on the yayin, but there's no hefsek by doing that. That's just considered to be part of the chibur that we originally made it on. So the bracha is the achenu gomle chasodim b'nei gomle chasodim. All of you who are machazikim bivrito shel Avram Avinu. And the bivrito shel Avram Avinu, we don't have this girsa of kiyadativ l'man asher yitzaved banav. It's a pirish, because Rashi says the brito shel Avram Avinu that we're referring to over here is a specific relationship to Vayita Eshel. And that Eshel had to do with very physical needs, achila, shtia, lina, and that's what you people here are doing. You've all come to provide this meal and this emotional support exactly the way that Avram Avinu did. And that is Achenu Ba'alag Mo Yishalem Lechem Gemulchem Baruch Ata Hashem Mishalem Agemul. Then he said, now I have another bracha. Kum Eima Milta Keneged Kol Yisrael. And this becomes the bracha, which is similar to the bracha, which is Keneged Kol Yisrael. And that, by the wedding, was the very bracha of the final bracha, which is where we're giving an overall bracha, as Rashi says, to all of Yisrael's Gila, Rina, Chedva, the entire way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Manig Yisrael. Here too, let's talk about Kol Yisrael. And therefore, the bracha is Padei Vatzel, Malet Hosham, Chol Yisrael, Min HaDever, Min HaCherev, Min HaBizah, Min HaShidafon, Min HaYerakon, ומכל מיני פרניות המתרגשות בעולם, ובאות לעולם, טרם נקרא ואתה תענה, ברוך אתה השם, אתה עוצר המגפה. אמרו לה, ואמר לה במתנית התנה, 10 כוסות תקנו חכמים בבית האבל. There are 10 separate כוסות. After all, it says, תנו שיכר לעובד, ויין למורי נפש. Remember, we spoke about this back when we were learning מועד קטן. Reb Shlomo Zalman's answer to the individual who asked them, isn't it in a, many people actually feel because of the inyan of Tisha B'Av in the 9 days where we aser shtiyas yayin, so they have this feeling that it must be that an oval is aser b'shtiyas yayin, but that's not true. The oval adarabah is supposed to be drinking the yayin, the inyan of the elements that have to do with the Tisha B'Av is not because of the concept of drinking being nogeid la'avelut, but it has to do with the other inyan of it being the zman that you have to face the avelut. The idea of the avelut over here is to ease your pain. That is not part of the chiyuv of Tisha B'Av, Anarabba. So the question over here is, how much did we do? So here, unbelievably, the Gemara says that they were metaken 10 cups of wine. Now, 10 cups of wine, remember that the derech was to be memazeg the wine. So you mix the wine with water. And again, if we understand that mixing the wine with water is not because of some magical quality of the wine, that it was much stronger than our wine, which so many people believe, but rather it was the derech to mix water with wine, because the reason that they were drinking wine was because you really couldn't drink water. Water was often infected, so the way in which you could safely drink was with alcohol. You don't want to walk around drunk all day. So basically, you're drinking wine as a beverage that is safe. And that was the derech to drink. And therefore, they were mitaken, these 10 kosot. And 10 kosot were not enough to make someone mamish totally crazy. And therefore, this meal, which we think in terms of bringing him a little egg and whatever, which is just a remiss to the beginning of the nature of Avelut, this was a serious meal that was brought in the Rechava when the entire town was part of the meal or in the Beit HaKnesset. So over there, they used to have the first course, and they would serve the hors d'oeuvres, and exactly like a big seuda. This is much more similar to the seuda of a wedding. So they had 3 kosot, kodem achila. Kodem achila means were before we brought the main course. So there were three kosot there, and that was just in order that people should be able to feel relaxed and opens up your appetite. Liftoach et bnei me'ab. There were three bitoch achila, that's just drink. A drink in the middle of the meal was always with wine. Kedei lishrot achila shebnei me'ab. And then there were four brachas after the achila. Keneged each one of the brachas of birchas hamazon. Echad keneged hazan, echad keneged birchas haaretz, echad keneged bonei Yerushalayim, ve'echad keneged hatov v'hameitiv. And then, after some dorot, they were mosif an additional four kosot. And what were those four kosot? Those were kosot that were in honor of. So they would get up and make a toast. One of them is in honor of the Chazanei Ha'ir. The Chazanei Ha'ir, in this sense, is the Chevra Kadisha. Those people who would take responsibility for such, there used to be, it was an overall thing. The concept of a Chevra Kadisha specifically, of burial, was a later innovation. But over here, it was called the Chazanei Ha'ir, where the people accepted responsibility in town for taking care of things that needed to be taken care of, including taking care of the roads and taking care of any of the issues of the Beit Knesset and so on. All of that were the Chazanim. That was the original meaning of the word Chazan. And then they would make a toast to the Parnasei Ha'ir. The Parnasei Ha'ir were the people who gave money to provide for these things, so that if an ani could not afford, the family could not afford a funeral, they would be people that dedicated money for the poor and saw to it that there was a burial. So this was an appropriate place to drink to their honor. The Echad Keneged Beit HaMikdash, exactly like the Brocha of the Chasana, in which we're talking about B'kibbutz Bonea, L'tocha B'simcha, and we're talking about Yerushalayim, Al Rosh Simchatenu. Over here, we have the same idea of Yerushalayim as Hamokim, the idea of Yenachem Eschem B'toch Avelei Tzion. So here, too, there needs to be a Zikorain at the Seuda of the Beis HaMikdash, another one of the amazing Hakpalot of the parallels between a Seuda of a wedding and a Seuda on a burial. And so one of them was Keneged the Beit HaMikdash, and the other one was Keneged Rebbe Gamliel. We're going to say, what in the world does that mean? They made a toast to Rebbe Gamliel. This was whether he was alive or dead. So why did they make a toast to Rebbe Gamliel? We're going to see what an amazing revolution Rebbe Gamliel brought, but Dafka in his death, as we'll see. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But after they had these 14 kosot, as you can imagine, the Seuda turned into something of a Mardi Gras, which was not exactly the atmosphere that was appropriate. It was more like an Irish wake, and they realized this is not a very good idea. So 14 was too much, even for diluted wine. So they ended up taking it back, and they stopped the four kosot of the L'chaim that were said afterwards. Hirziru hadavar liyoshna. So they put things back to the way it was. So there's a machlokas rishonim. Is the way it was, there's still 10 kosot? Or is 10 kosot also a little bit too woozy for the appropriate feelings at the meal? That's a big machlokas. The Rambam brings that it's still 10 kosot. That, not that it's a chiv, but that no more than 10 kosot is the way the Rambam puts it. So if you're going to drink, you know, keep it moderate, like it says on the bottle of wine. Three bottles would be enough to drink. It's pretty different from the way we think about it. Anyway. We do. It has to be diluted. Well, anyway, yeah. But again, yeah, you're supposed to always dilute wine. But at least some kind of dilution. Our minhag is to drink wine, you know, basically undiluted. But the takonas were for a little bit of dilution, at least. And again, many of the poskim really believe that their wine was literally undrinkable without dilution. This is what the Rishonim bring. You couldn't drink it. It's ain't a roi l'shtia if it's yayin that is completely raw, undiluted wine. No. That's something else. Where it was dry, the Gemara talks about the Roman dried wine. Again, you know, it's very difficult to know. But I, as far as I know, maybe Barnea knows something different. But as far as I know, there's never been any archaeological finds that show wine being of a higher alcohol than we have. And it's very difficult to understand exactly how that would come about in terms of sugar content, drinkability, and chimutz and so on. So I don't know. I find it much more reasonable to say that when people had to drink all day long, that they drank dilute and that became normal. And then to take wine, straight wine, and drink it was like weird. You know, it was like drinking Coca-Cola syrup to them instead of drinking Coca-Cola. Okay. Anyway, that's my suspicions. But I know that most people don't hold that way. Now, what is this story of Rebbe Gamliel? Why did we give a special bracha to Rebbe Gamliel? The Tanya. Rishona hayta hotzaat hamet kasher lekrovav yoter mimitato. It used to be that these funeral directors, this is crazy, all the way back at the time of Rebbe Gamliel we're talking about, that they used to charge all this crazy money for a funeral. And if you couldn't afford it, so then you were too embarrassed. How come all the other people on the block made funerals for their parents that were like these massive, beautiful coffins and these beautiful clothes? And I mean, we can't afford that. So they would simply leave town. You know, let the public works deal with it. We can't go into debt for the rest of our life for a funeral. It was a disaster. And this is very much the way it is today among non-Chevra Kadisha chapels and so on. There's a whole beautiful, a number of tshuvas from Reb Moshe. One of the most beautiful is that he was asked whether it's mutter for a chapel to have a mikveh where they could say they're being matfil the mace in the mikveh, or whether that has to be left in the hands of the Chevra Kadisha. And his tshuva revolved around the fact that if the chapels provide a service, it's going to end up costing money, and therefore it's usser. Because the whole point over here, Alibad Rebbe Gamliel, is we try to make things as non-costing to the family as possible. And anything that you allow these people to do, they're going to end up ripping you off. It doesn't matter what they say initially. This is like the chokhmah of Rabbanim that are giving psak in a real world. Anyway, so what? It's horrific. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, Mom. Yeah. So, and this used to happen until Rebbe Gamliel came, and Rebbe Gamliel left the tzava that he is to be buried in the cheapest possible throwaway clothing, and they use simple clay pishtan for him, and everybody was expecting this incredible funeral. I mean, the Nasi, Rebbe Gamliel, my God. And on the contrary, it was an absolutely cheapo in which he was the way a funeral is today, basically a white sheet, and that's it. And what happened is, Nagu Kola Amacharav, Lo Tzibikli Pishtan, they went, and Bedavka, it became like a hidur that it should be simple klipishta. And Rav Papa says, and nowadays, they'll even use a cheap canvas bag. A filo bitzarda barzuza, costs a quarter. That's plenty to throw away on a funeral, which is amazing. Now, Lamaisa, because of this, there are people that are Bedavka makbid to have absolutely no frills. We talk about frills. It's the pshat frills on the tachrichin. And you'll notice that there are very different types Richie, you know, come to my aid. Your memory is what's that white thing that you wear on the Leil of the Seder? What's it called? Kittel. There we go. Thank you. See, it's good to have a friend with a good memory. So there are people, you'll notice, that have different types of kittel. A kittel is actually meant to be tachrichin. That's the whole point in the kittel, that the person is supposed to be remembering Yom HaMisa as he's being Isaac in what he's Isaac. And because of that, some people are makbid that the kittel should be no frill, literally no frill, just a simple cotton garment or pishtan garment, even better. But there are those who bring that lamaisa in terms of kovet hames to put on a little frill. That's okay. And Adarab, it shows a kovet hames. I don't know where you draw the line of that kind of thing. Because, as you know, there's some very elaborate kittels. I think the Rebbe is dafka missing today. The Gabbai couldn't get him up, apparently. because of this. He didn't want to be exposed to the problem of kittels. We know the way the rebbes wear kittels. Okay, that is the end of the sugya. And now we get back to the main idea. What was the